What's up, y'all, and welcome back to the Saved and Such podcast. We're popping it off with another episode, and so we're going to go ahead and just do our mental health check-in, starting from the right of me. What's good with you, Alexis?
I am good. I would say I'm a 10, even though this month has been a 1. I'm going to say I'm a 10, because next month will be amazing.
Hello.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to say I'm about a 9. I'm going to say I'm a 9. I'm feeling good. God is great. I'm a 9.
I have a question. Why do we usually go with 9? Is it because we feel like perfection is unattainable?
It's a good question. That's a good question. I would say honestly, yeah. Well, I wouldn't say I'm striving to be perfect, but everything just ain't perfect right now, sister.
Okay, so you took that 1 point off to leave room.
To leave room.
Okay.
To make room.
Ooh, yeah, Pastor.
To make room.
Yeah, Pastor.
Okay. Mariah?
Oh, we skipping you?
No, I thought because I asked, I usually come back last. Should I go?
No, go ahead. You got it.
Okay. I would definitely say that I'm a 10 because I'm overjoyed, y'all. Mm. I'm full of joy because a lot of times we're walking and we can't see, but we know that we're being guided. A lot of times, sometimes you can't hear, but you know that you're protected. I hope that made sense.
Amen.
And so it's just like, you know, I don't necessarily know how everything's about to unfold, and I don't always feel qualified, but God is so good, and, like, life is so good. I had a very I'm not even trying to use that big word. I had a very hectic Monday. Like, I walked in my flesh a little bit, and I did something kind of crazy, and I had to pray. Mm. And when I did pray, he took away my guilt. So basically, it was with a tow driver. You know how that gets.
Oh, a tow driver. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll tell y'all off camera. But yeah, God is good.
Amen. It get like that. Appreciate the transparency.
Yes. It be like that. I'm tired, but God is good. So I say a 9. I ain't a 10.
A 9?
Yeah, not a 10.
How was the weekend with everything that happened?
It was okay. I had a pretty eventful weekend. I went to Atlanta to see my grandfather because he fell and broke his hip. And while I was in Atlanta, somebody spotted me from the show, and I was all like, oh, that's cute. That's so nice. But, yeah. And my grandmother sent us, she sent it to me, but she watches the show faithfully. And she gave us a compliment, and I think that felt good for me because, you know, grandmothers, they know what they're talking about.
Right.
And you can't really tell them much. So the fact that she was able to listen to the show, and she told me that she started reading instead of her King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
She started reading New Translation, and she went and read one of the scriptures we was talking about, and, like, she saw it from a whole different perspective. She like, in my 81 years of living, I never looked at it like this.
Wow.
And I was, like, really overjoyed, but yeah.
You remember what episode it was?
Mm-mm. I'm gonna ask her.
All
right. That's what's up.
Shout out to Momo.
It's Grandma.
Oh, I'm sorry. Shout out to Grandma.
Well, we're going to go ahead and hop into the episode then. Alexis is going to open us up with our brand new series along with our scripture reading for today.
Amen.
Period.
So our new series that we're starting is Walking in Dominion. Mm. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 14. And this is the English Standard Version. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that when we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one has died, has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin. Once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace.
Mm. Mm.
I That's a lot.
Go ahead, because I see you on fire. Go ahead.
Dominion is a, I like this topic because it's something that I've battled with. Like, I've always been afraid of things. And when I say, first of all, when I looked up the definition of dominion, let me pull it up again. It basically said under sovereignty or control. Mm. And to think of something controlling me, like fear literally controlled me and it controlled my movement. At a time, it really controlled my movement. And so now that I'm breaking away from fear, like it's easier for me to break away from sin too. Because like even with my walk with Christ, like the fear of wanting to live right and what people would say or how things would go, if I was able to even do it, all that was under fear. Like from the smallest stuff to the biggest stuff, like I was terrified of dogs and like it would hinder me so much because I would not go to certain places. I wouldn't do certain things because I'm like, no. So just even that, like for me, from being scared of dogs to the biggest thing, which is walking in who I really am with God, was, you know, fear. And I allowed that fear to kind of take over and control me and what I do. And so I've been listening for like, what, some months now. I've been listening to Dominion by Jason Nelson. He basically just goes through a list of things that no longer have dominion over us. And that was it clicked for me. I had known the song for a long time. But I feel like at this point in my life, understanding that I can't let sin control me and can't let fear control me and have dominion over me. My mom used to always tell me, like, you have dominion over everything in this earth mm-hmm. because God gave you the power and the dominion. And so, like, you can speak to those things and they have to stop because of the power in you.
Amen.
And so even I tested it out with a dog, which is why I brought it up. I was terrified of dogs. But she said, you have dominion over that from the whatever, like you have dominion over it. So a dog was running after me and I was like, stop. Mm. But I said it with authority because I knew that God would come and he would, you know, make the dog stop. And so I'm like, okay, I got dominion over that. And so then it became, okay, let me speak to these sins. Let me speak to these ways and these habits. Y'all gotta go, stop. Mm. And like the scripture is just saying, don't let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. And right now, literally depriving myself and basically starving some of my sins and some of my habits. And I love the word dominion. Like, you no longer have dominion over me.
Amen.
I love that. That's so good. That's so good.
Oh, I thought you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
I mean, you have the list of questions.
I was reading, just recapping. On a scripture, shout out to Alexis for reading it so beautifully.
Yes.
when it talks about, like, just touching back on what Marie said about sin, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of stuff that we're wrestling with, you know what I mean? We don't even realize it, but we really have the authority through Christ to not even battle with it anymore. Like, not even allow it to become a thought. It can become a thought, but it won't be an action for us. You know what I'm saying? And I think once we have that mindset as believers, especially us that are young believers, you know what I'm saying, are kind of growing to be the person that God is calling us to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just having that mindset of, man, I really am victorious. Like, I really don't have to walk around in shame and worry. Yeah. You know what I mean? And disappointment. You know what I mean? But I can walk around and victory, I've already won. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. just allowing God to just be that person that we make room for, mm-hmm. and just to know that we can go to him and lay down everything, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems. I think that's where I find peace in all of it.
Yeah. I like the part where it talked about that death no longer had hold over him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like that part because when it talks about how sin brings death, when you just said like shame, disappointment, and fear, all of those things do lead to death. It leads a death to our vision, mm-hmm. our creativity, the way that we show up in the world, the way that we can express ourselves, and the way that we communicate with one another, which is a very important thing. Like, community with one another is a very important key component to mm-hmm. our way of living. And so when it comes to putting to death those type of things, it takes an acknowledgement, and once you acknowledge, then to come into agreement with the power and the dominion that you actually have. Like you were also saying, exercising it. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that so much in this year. 2023 has been really the year of me testing my power and my dominion. Mm-hmm. When I looked up the word dominion, one of the definitions that stood out to me was basically having power and rule over nature. Mm-hmm. And so I've been testing it out with nature, mm-hmm. especially. And so, like, this is something that I do. I like to sit in nature, but the bugs get on my nerves. And I'm actually very afraid of bugs. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to speak to this thing. Because like you said, I got the power. So I let God, you know, I don't like bugs. I respect that you created them for whatever means in which they were created, but not up in my space. And so I'm asking the Holy Spirit, and I'm coming into agreement with you, that there's going to be a shield around me that they cannot enter into my space in my bubble. And I've never not had that prayer answered. It's crazy because actually on Friday, I'm sitting outside with a friend outside, and I said that prayer because we were eating. And they said, I haven't seen a single bug since you prayed. Mm. And it's something that I just practice. And also like with the wind, when I was sitting under the trees, when it was still a little bit hot outside, I literally looked at the tree and I'm like, it's hot. And I said, well, by the power and dominion given unto me, I want shade and I need shade. So a gush of wind needs to start going through these trees. And literally wind was just blowing everywhere through the trees. And that's just something that I've been doing in my life to like practically start exercising it with nature, but then taking it a step further, like you said, now I want to start introducing it more into my life over fear, doubt, shame, insecurity, and really speaking to those things, but more on a conscious level. Like, I feel like I do that all the time, but now being more conscious of it.
I love it.
I like that. It kind of goes into what I was going to say. Well, I have, like, two scriptures based from, like, the scripture. So I like how the scripture started off saying that we, like, our old self died when it was crucified. Mm-hmm. You know, when Jesus died for our sins, all our sins are washed away. But I feel like, you know, dominion is control and having control over everything. But before you can control everything, I feel like control over yourself first and starting off, like, fixing yourself and having dominion over yourself, dominion over your mind. And I pray that all the time to have like dominion over my mind, over my body, just having that self-control, because I know I have an issue with self-control, but I'm working on it. So I feel like this goes into a scripture that I had this in my notes, so I'm glad we actually started the series with this. So it's Colossians chapter 3, verse 2-3. And it says, set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And I just...
What was the last part?
For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's just all your old life. When you become saved, your old life and your old habits is dead. It's no longer there. And you just become a new creature, a new being. And I feel like when they say God is doing a new thing, that also reminds me of the scripture that God's doing a new thing. And your old habits and like all desires is gone. And just God is ordering your footsteps and aligning with his agenda.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And I like the verse when it says God is doing a new thing, because it says, do you not perceive it? Because that's why I said coming into agreement with it is so vital, because God can be doing a new thing. God says that you are a new creature, that your old self has died. But if we don't heal the emotional wounds and actually, like you said, healing our mind, healing our perception, and actually doing those things so that we can perceive the newness that we are and actually start to exercise our dominion and our control over the things that once used to hold us back and hold us in bondage. But it takes a certain level of acknowledgement and then coming into agreement with the thing. Do you not perceive it? A lot of people don't perceive their freedom. They don't know that they're free because they're still wrestling with the very thing that God says you have the power to overcome it. Speak to the mountain. But they don't even know that there's power in their own voice. They're still being tormented mentally, emotionally. They haven't come into the mindset that is needed in order to perceive on that type of level. Like it really is. Like God, that's something that I prayed years and years ago. God opened my eyes, because I know that when you take the veil off, there are certain things that just people cannot see until God literally removes that veil. So just keep praying that prayer. God, take the veil off. Allow me to see. It is so important that we see. That's why there's a scripture. It says that the eye is the light of the body. Mm-hmm. If your eye is unhealthy, the whole body is unhealthy.
That two scriptures, like while y'all were all talking, popped into my head. One is, you were talking about how like your life can change, and once you get your new life in, you know, God is doing a new thing, those desires go away. And I agree, but also, like, I don't want people to think for a second that it just go away just because, like, you got to work.
Right.
And, like, that the scripture, submit yourself, therefore, unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Mm. Like, that's a three-step process. People, mm. like, most of the time we just go, like, okay, God, I give it to you. And yeah, let the devil go about his business. And he like, mm.
That's why self-control is a fruit of the spirit.
You gotta resist. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then they just like, I'm gonna just resist. But no, you gotta submit. Like, there's a process. You have to submit yourself to God. Give yourself to God. Allow your flesh to die daily with God. Live with God. Mm. And allow God to transform you and work on you. Have faith. That's submitting. And then resist the devil. Starve your flesh. Starve the things that you want to do. Kill those habits, and when you feel like doing it, have self-control, like, and yeah. then the devil will flee from you because you've done the work. So
submission,
the work is hard.
Submission is hard sometimes.
Yes,
though.
It is,
especially when you have like control problems,
control
like
issues.
Me
yeah.
I have very big control problems. Like, if I don't feel like I'm in control, I don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's something that God has really had to walk with me on, that I can release and I'm safe. And it's like, if I'm not controlled in the slightest things, in my relationships especially, like, I can see it when I feel like my relationship might be like in a rocky kind of space. My fight or flight that is like literally activated is scary sometimes, mm-hmm. because that loss of control means that this is insecure. Mm-hmm. And if it's insecure, it's not safe. And if I'm not safe, then I'm not at peace. The very peace that Jesus said he left with me mm-hmm. is now disrupted. So I've been learning to find how to release control, because it shows up in every aspect of my life.
And I also think, like, being realistic, if you know that you're struggling, like, with certain sins, like, yes, you know, you gave your life to God, but you're still going to struggle, like how Marie was saying, you're going to still struggle it. Later on, like, the devil's going to tempt you.
Yes, he is.
But you have to work for it. You can't put yourself still in situations that's surrounding that sin. Yeah. If you know, just last week you got saved. Like, you can't be around that still. You have to separate yourself yeah. from those old habits. Separate yourself from people, because they're still in it. And everyone thinks, oh, Jesus, he said with sinners. Yeah. You're not Jesus. Yeah. You don't have the same anointing Jesus has. You know, if you can't be around that space and around that atmosphere and that you're easily tempted, you still shouldn't be around it. And that's not having dominion. That's not having, you think you have dominion, you think you have control over the situation, but that's you relying on yourself, mm-hmm. not relying on the power of God, because God knows you can't be in that situation. You shouldn't be in that atmosphere.
Yep. It literally says put no confidence in your flesh.
Yeah. She just preached.
But I think we have to be real, though. A lot of times, the reason why we put ourselves back in those situations is just to be like, God. And that's what Pastor had to tell people. Like, you can't fake your way into holiness. You can't mm-hmm. fake your way mm-hmm. into the next level.
Yeah.
You have to be real. I like this sin. Mm-hmm. I enjoy this company. I enjoy what this actually does for me.
Yep.
In order for me to break free from what I was struggling with weed, okay, I actually like to smoke. I like that whenever I feel like a loss of control, this gives me back my control. Those type of honest conversations with God, he can work with you on that. But if you're still hiding and you're still trying to pretend your way in, mm-hmm. it's not going to
work. Yeah, ain't no faking.
Ain't no faking.
He knows your heart, literally. Like, you can't pretend.
He knows how you feel.
And it's, that's crazy. This verse 9, it says we are, from the scriptures, Romans 6, it says we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. That reminds me of whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Like, mm-hmm. because he already died, he's not dying again.
Right.
Because he rose. And when he rose, that means he got to live. And that means that when you let your flesh die and you give your flesh to God and that dies, mm-hmm. because God lived, we have to live in God and abide by God.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that comes with some crazy faith, because, like, you have to have some crazy faith. Like, almost childlike faith, like God is a superhero, to really believe that you can speak to something and it'll just be. Like, for me to tell myself, listen, you're done with this. You have to go. And for me to believe in my mind that, like, I have been struggling with something for a long time, And, like, one day I just was like, I had been praying in a way. I had been just like, God, da da da. And then one day I just got tired and was like, yeah, we doing something about this. And I literally sat in my room. I watched this little deliverance thing that was on YouTube. And I really believed God for it. I'm like, I can't deal with this no more. Like, this cannot be a thing. Like, you got to come get me. I'm giving it all to you. This is as honest as I can be. And I went through the whole thing. And it was like probably 34 minutes, 35 minutes. I went through the whole thing. And I sat in my room right after. And I just was on my floor meditating and just allowing God to do whatever he was going to do. But it was in that moment where I chose. Like, I have never done anything like that in my own home. Like, I always thought, okay, I'm going to go to the altar. I'm going to get somebody to pray for me. But no, I had to welcome God into my room and into my space and ask him to take over. And that requires some crazy faith because it's my room. Like, normally you go to church to feel the presence of God. But I was like, no. And I knew that I'm going to lay down and I'm going to take a nap. And when I wake up, I'm going to be different. And I knew that was what it was going to be. And I didn't have no other choice. I'm like, yeah, God, I believe you to do it. And he did it, like, from that day on. And I just feel like in this scripture, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Like, I knew that I was free. And that sin, those sins, I'm no longer bound, no more chains that's holding me.
Hallelujah.
Like, that's what it is.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. This is a great conversation. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back, But, next question. How important is it to not only know the word, but to carry it with dominion?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I was not asking everybody.
Okay, you were staring me deep in my soul, though. Okay, so how important it is to not only know the word, but to...
Walk in it with dominion. Like, use it, basically.
Okay, that's when... So you're talking about basically when the Bible goes from words to actual power?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. I think that right there is the difference. We can read about it all day, but until we catch a revelation about a word, I feel like the revelation is what's going to carry the power. And also the agreement to actually walk in that. So when we talk about dominion, the first time that we see dominion in the Bible is actually Genesis 1... Genesis 1, 26 through 28, and it said, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so, remember how I said when I read the definition, it said to have power and control over nature?
Right.
That was one of the first things that we see right there. And so, I keep talking about thinking back to the question, how important it is to know the word, but also to walk in your dominion of the word. Well, I feel like in order to walk in dominion of the word, you have to have a revelation, like I said, an understanding, one that is not revealed from necessarily what you might say, because you can tell me all day I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, but if I don't catch the revelation of why I'm fearfully and wonderfully made through the revealing of the Holy Spirit, then that still renders powerless in my life. I can say it over and over. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But until I catch the fact that, wait a minute, God created me in his image. And if God created me in his image, that means he created greatness within me because he's great. And that means if I carry greatness within me, that means that he has a purpose, because my purpose on this earth is to magnify. It's to create. It's to have dominion over all of these things so that I can serve and help the next person. And so my future is secure. Oh, my goodness. That means that my uniqueness is something that the world actually needs. But you see how that process is? You have to catch your own revelations.
Right.
For it to go from word knowledge, I mean, from like head knowledge, to actually power in your life.
That was thick. That was deep.
I hope so, because I didn't feel like I was able to get it out.
No, you got it.
It's crazy because, don't lose it.
Get it back.
Holy Spirit's going to bring it back to school.
There you go. literally, you have to, we were just talking about hiding the word in your heart, but you really have to get on your Zoom. Like, I know I say it a lot and I play, but you got to read your Bible.
There it is.
You have to really read it for context. You have to read the chapters, not just the verses. You have to really start Googling, start asking, like, it's like school. Mm-hmm. Like, when I learned how to, like, do school and I learned how I needed to learn in order to retain, understand, and, regurgitate it, mm-hmm. I have to ask myself questions. Okay, so what did you just read? I just read this. Okay, what does that mean? And then I have to, like, really think and I have to go through my day. But before I read my Bible, I try to read it every morning, sometimes maybe every other morning, whatever. But during the week, it's typically every morning. And before I read my Bible, I pray and I ask God. I say, Lord, I'm about to read my Bible. You know how I get with the whole dyslexia thing and not understanding. So I'm going to need you to reveal whatever interpretation you want me to get from this, whatever revelation you want me to have, epiphany, whatever. Whatever you want me to hear or see and understand in this word, Lord, I ask that you make it known in my heart and in my mind and allow the two to agree. Allow me to see what you want me to see, hear what you want me to hear, and carry it on with my day. Literally, whenever I read the Bible, whatever verse or scripture I read or chapter, it goes into my day, literally, because mm-hmm. I ask God to help me to apply it. And then it becomes something I can remember because I read it and then I went through it that same day. And that's how, like, if y'all want, like, a little nugget on how to read your Bible daily, just start asking questions. Like, if you have a question about something, this is really, like, a life manual. Like, it's a life manual. Everything that you could or would go through is in there. I promise you, it's in there. You might got to reword it or re-whatever, but the revelation is in there. Like, he going to tell you.
And that's touching back on what you just said. Like, we was just talking off camera for a long time about certain things that are happening nowadays that might be a shock to others, but it's literally all right there in the word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And stuff like that has to happen in order for prophecy to happen. Mm-hmm. But just going back to touching up on the Bible, like, if you're new to faith, you know what I'm saying, and somebody tells you, gives you a scripture, and they tell you to read the King James, it might not hit the same. So I would definitely advise you, you know what I mean, to find, like, the best version mm-hmm. that you can break it down and apply it to your life. You know what I mean? I know for me, Murray put me on the Bible, He Reads. I'm sorry, Krista.
Because
Krista did that. He Reads that. The Christian Standard Bible has definitely been a blessing ever since I started reading it. Because, you know, I'm just so used to the King James, but I'm actually learning how to read the different versions and how, okay, that's hitting different. Now, I mean, now that I'm seeing it in that way, so definitely, man. But everything that's happened is right there in that word. So if you just, like she said, want to know what's going on or the manual of how to, you know what I mean, just walk as a man or a woman, you know what I mean, in Christ.
That's but how do they actually have, like, how do they take dominion over even, like, the word to actually apply it? How would you say, what would be your interpretation?
It's a good question. I would say, like, wait, say it again, I lost it.
So basically, it's like going back to the Bible is words on a page until mm-hmm. you get a revelation. So how would you... what would be your interpretation of how they can actually walk in the revelation of what it is they're actually reading?
I would say that for me, like, it's things that I went through or it's things that I've seen where, like, if I go back to the Bible and I read it, like, it will hit for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, going back to Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, like, it was times where I was struggling with, like, insecurity. You know what I'm saying? But I could go back to the word and realize, like, oh, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Or I could go back to the word and recognize that God ordained me a prophet before I was even in my mother's womb, Jeremiah 1:5. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And John 10:30, me and my father are one. You know what I'm saying? So it's that one hit you right there. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like, you know what I mean, for me, it's the things that I've been through, the trials, the tribulations, the ups, the downs, where it was the word that brought me to peace. It was the word that gave me the confidence. So it was the word that gave me...
I like that.
Yeah.
Comforting. Is mm-hmm. like you got comforted, but it was also through the repetition.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about renewing of the mind, it's not a one-time thing. I don't just read the word and say, I'm a different person.
Yeah.
Like, no, constantly going back to that mm-hmm. source. That's why he who dwells in the shelter place of the Most High, they will find refuge.
Mm.
And so as we continue to...
Y'all better be on y'all's name. I like that.
As we continue to abide in that place, the revelation that we're seeking, remember I said we can say it all day, but as we keep going, to that well, we keep drawing the water, eventually mm-hmm. it clicks. Mm. Eventually one day we see it in a way that we've never seen it before. Mm. So I like that. That's good.
You have to meditate. Meditate on the word. When I was younger, and I like how you was talking about finding a version that fits you, because when I was younger, I thought I got to start at Genesis and read it whole way through. But the Bible is not just one book. It's right. multiple books in one. And mm-hmm. I'm glad my mom taught me, like, start in the New Testament, go from Matthew, and then jump around and find what fits you, because everything is different. You have to read the context, read what's happening during that time mm-hmm. and why that's being said. And when I use the scriptures, like when I read the scriptures, I use it to walk in authority because I'm speaking that stuff over my life. Like mm-hmm. when I think Matthew 4:10, like Jesus said, Satan, flee from me. When something is going on in your life, like, and the devil's tempting you, I just, Matthew 4:10, mm-hmm. you know, speaking that scripture over that situation. Mm-hmm. So it's really good to know the word, because you're going to use it when that rough time comes. Mm-hmm. You're speaking that scripture over the situation. You're constantly like, death and life is in the power of your tongue. So constantly saying that scripture over and over, that's having authority over that situation. That's speaking power over that situation. So that's how you could use the word.
Amen.
Amen. I feel like also with having dominion about what you're reading in God's word is two things. Today in service, the message was like going into overtime. It was football related, but his main message was that you have to get to know God for yourself. Mm. Like, you can't rely on anybody else's interpretation of the word, anybody else's understanding or their experiences. You have to have your own experiences. And when you have your own experiences, you can try and see God for yourself. Mm. So I would encourage everybody to, if you're going to read the word, ask God, like I said, for what he wants you to understand. And if you're going to try God and gain your own experiences, allow what you have been learning, what God has been showing you mm-hmm. to guide you and move you forward. Because I could tell you what he did for me, but what has he done for you? What he's done for me may not be what he's going to do for you. And so, like, mm-hmm. I feel like that's something that people need to understand, especially when it comes into walking into your own power. Your power is different from my power. We're all under the same master, and we all have God as our father, but you may be a prophet, I may be an evangelist, you may be an apostle, you know, somebody else may be something else.
Right.
And so, like, you have to, like I said, get to know God for yourself. And I think it's our motto or our slogan at my church is a church committed to the word and the ways of God. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was praying today and I said that, and I'm like, Lord, I want to be committed to your word and to your ways. And I'm like, hold up, that's on the... Okay. Mm. And that was so important to me because, like you said, like, you can't lean to your own understanding when you're reading the word. Like, he tells you exactly what he wants you to get from it. But a lot of times it's our heart and it's our mind that's telling us what he meant, what he said, what he meant, instead of asking him, well, what did you mean?
And sometimes the answer don't even come right then and there.
No.
And I've learned to be okay with that. Like, I can ask a question and instead of worrying, oh, am I going to get it? Am I going to get it? No, I just journey in grace. And then one day, rather it's an hour, a day, a week, I might hear something and they're like, I'm like, oh, wow, I asked a question to that. There it is. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The Bible also can be pretty practical. Like, when I think about wisdom and we read Proverbs, literally the book of wisdom.
I was just about to say that.
Mm-hmm. When I read the book of Proverbs, there's this one in there where it talks about a wise man knows that God sees all things, but a foolish man, they do evil and they think that they got away from it. Mm-hmm. And so that's wisdom, though. And I remember being at my one job, and I'm like, you know what? I can probably call the health inspecting people on them, and I can just do, like, an anonymous tip. They won't know. We're going to get shut down. I'm going to be at home. So they would not know. And I literally heard that voice from Proverbs. Only a fool thinks that what is done in the dark they get away with, but the wise person knows that God sees all things. Mm. And I said, all right. Mm. And I said, but that's how you hide the word in your heart, though.
Yeah,
When the word is really dwelling in you, and we say, Holy Spirit, lead me, it's in times like those in our decision-making where a word just comes to your heart. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay, this is the ways of God, or this is something that I should not do or should be doing. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about being led, the reason why we say get the word in you is because the word literally, it can lead you in every area of your life, down to you making foolish decisions that can impact you in ways that you can't see in the moment. Mm.
And you have to, the word, his word doesn't get applied and his rule doesn't get applied, his law doesn't get applied until you're in a state of imperfection. Like, if you perfect, there's no need for you to have his word because clearly you have everything right and you don't need him. But, like, the only way that he can show you exactly what he meant is when you go through things and when you're being tested. Not tempted, because only the devil tempts you. God tests you. Mm-hmm. He tests your faith. He doesn't tempt you to do things that he knows that you're going to fail because he knows you're a sinner.
Give somebody an example of a test and a temptation.
Bible or real world? Like
real world, certainly.
Okay. Let's say that you're praying and asking God for, you're asking God to help you with patience and grace. Let's say that. And you're someone that normally would cut somebody out if they tried you. But you're praying and asking God for grace and patience. Grace is, what's the definition of grace? It doesn't matter. We're not going to go there. So Google it. Patience and grace, that's what you're praying for. And, you know, you're at work and this your coworker comes up to you and he or she wants to get into it. And you like, you know what? A test would be this specific situation. And God is trying to see if you're going to give that person grace and walk away with patience. Like, if you're going to be patient and be gracious to them. Mm-hmm. And that means don't cuss them out. Mm-hmm. Or that means if you get it in your mind, you immediately, oh, nope, I'm going to give you grace just like I would want grace.
Right.
I'm going to be patient with you just as I want patience because God is patient with me.
Right.
He wants you to think of him in every situation and think of what he would do in every situation. Like, even ask yourself, what would Jesus do? He's going to test you to see, okay, has she learned or has he learned?
Yeah.
Because I'm ready to bless him and give him more, but I got to see that you made it past this one. And so that's a test. Temptation, God is not going to put something that he knows you're going to fail at in front of you and be like, let's see if you're going to do it. Now, I understand how that sounds and like how it can be confusing, but a test is literally something that you're praying for and that you're working on, and like, he's not going to give you more than you can bear. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're avidly struggling with, let's say, lustful desires, and that's something that you haven't even began to pray about or began to master, he's not going to linger your wildest desire in front of you. The devil does that. The devil will give you everything you want wrapped up in a bow because he wants you to fail. Mm-hmm. The devil tempts you because he knows that if I can get you to do this, then I can get you to do anything. And if I can have your mind in this way, or if I can have her or have him to have your mind, then I can have you because they have your mind and I'm operating through them. Mm-hmm. God doesn't do that. And it was the same thing in the Bible where God was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, right?
Yeah,
and
I was just about to bring it up. But go. It's the Holy Spirit.
He was fasting and the devil was like, yeah, if you're me and my homegirl was just talking about this today. He was like, if you are the God or the Son of God and you're Jesus and this and that, turn that stone into bread. Mm-hmm. If you're the God and you're the Son of God and you're Jesus, jump off the cliff and surely angels will catch you or you'll gain your wings and you'll fly. That's the devil. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus had to stay faithful to his assignment that his Father gave him. Mm-hmm. And he had to use wisdom, discernment, and all the other things. And the devil is going to come at you with something that you want. That you're like, it's physical. Mm-hmm. Like, does that make sense that it's physical?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm burning with desire to share my story.
Go ahead.
Okay, so a test is this. I had one of the first things that God, it was so easy to give this up, but it was stealing. And not from people, that's ghetto. But like, you know, like maybe Walmart checkout or something.
Hey.
Or like 7-Eleven.
Still working on it.
That was actually one of the.
Not too much. They watching. They watching.
So since this is our vulnerable and transparent newness, I'm gonna go ahead and be so transparent. So like, I used to finesse Chipotle back in college. So Chipotle, I don't want to tell y'all this because if y'all try to finesse Chipotle through what I'm about to tell y'all, I can't even play like that. Okay, basically though.
Don't
do that.
Don't do it.
Don't do that, y'all. But basically, what Chipotle is, their system, if they swipe your card, a receipt's gonna print regardless.
Oh.
Rather it go through or not. And so I used to do that a lot, like pause my card in college, and I would just get free Chipotle. The thing is, like, you gotta walk out as soon as you get your.
Yeah,
you can't get no drink. Happened. You just gotta keep going.
Wow.
Yeah. You can't get no drink. You just gotta keep going. And so I don't steal no more. So a test came where I'm at Chipotle and I got my food and I walk outside and I just, for some reason, I look at my receipt and I see that the balance is still saying I owe. Me doing what I used to do in college, I know exactly what that means. I said, I didn't pay for this. And I literally had a split moment where it says, all right, that's cool. Let's just go. But I said, no, I don't operate like that no more. So I went back in there and I said, hey, something happened. The card didn't go through or something, but I wasn't charged for this. Can you go ahead and charge my card again? That's a test to me to see where my heart is and where my conviction truly lies.
Because he, from the inside, yes.
And I'm so big on that, though. Like, I stand on not treating life. I don't cheat life no more because, baby, it's going to come back some way, somehow, whether it's in a ticket. Okay, a temptation now. Back when I was in college and my son's father first left to go to the Air Force, he was my babysitter. So I didn't have a babysitter like that. So I wasn't able to work like that. And I had to take a semester off of school. And I remember not having no money at that point. And so I was like, my son needs diapers, though. So I remember going to the store and I'm stealing diapers. Mm. Yeah, it's one of them things. Yeah. Hey, it happened. We lived through it, journey in grace. And so now in this new season where I'm like, God has blessed me so much and life is good. And then I hit a rocky period where I lose my job and then my savings comes to a complete crash. This is some years ago. And I'm like, okay, temptation is knowing that I don't really have a lot, so I can justify it. I don't have a lot, so I can go steal. Mm-hmm. Or I can trust God for my provision and know that he is a provider and lean not to my own understanding that this too shall work. And in my faithfulness, I'm not going towards the tempting side. Well, I don't got a lot. I can justify this. I need stuff. No. And in that, God would make random money pop in my account. Mm-hmm. Literally, like I would get a notification, $2,000 and I can't trace it where it comes from. $4,000 can't trace where it came from. And that's when that was the season where I got to know God is really my provider.
Yes, he is.
I don't need to steal. I don't need to finesse. I don't need to cheat. I'm good. And that was for me, that was a tempting moment where I chose to lean on God and not my flesh.
Man, oh man.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, go ahead.
I want to see if this example works. So how you were saying if you're at work and then a coworker comes up to you and, you know, they want to argue with you, but you've been praying up for, like, patience and, you know, grace. So that's the test, like the situation. But I want to know, could a temptation be another coworker coming up to you and being like, well, if it was me, I would do this?
Yes.
Because I feel like that could go into play. Like, a temptation can come as you see yourself in the situation and you know how you should handle it with, like, patience, with grace. But then you got that one friend, if it was me, I would do this. And it's kind of tempting you to act on that.
Yeah.
And, you know, peer pressure. And you kind of like, you're right. Maybe I should never let that slide. Mm-hmm. And then.
For me, like I said, temptation seems to be more physical. Like, the best definition I can give is temptation is more physical.
Mm-hmm.
Like she said, her heart posture and God had convicted her of the stealing beforehand. And so it was a test for her heart to see, like, okay, are you going to stand on business, own up to that conviction that I already placed inside of you? That was like something that she had to deal with inside. A temptation is physical to me because not that it happens physically, because it can be spiritually or like in the flesh. But it's more like
that instigating spirit.
Yeah, like, oh, you gonna go like that?
Mm-hmm.
Or like even with lustful desires, like, oh yeah, come on over. Like, it's everything you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's everything you want, and there's more than likely there's always someone or something else that's like trying to pull you. Like, yeah, I can almost picture it, like the devil literally, like, yeah, I almost got. That's how, like, when I'm about to fall into temptation, I picture the devil literally, like, reeling me in, and I'm like, no.
It's a slow drift.
He like, I got you.
Everybody in the spiritual realm knows the art and the importance of patience, but us. Even the demons are patient.
Yes, they are. This.
Go ahead, girl.
No, y'all just made me think of a story. This just happened recently, and this is why you got to know your word and you have to have a good prayer life.
Yeah.
Because my mom, I'd be praying and, you know, but I'm more like, you know, being naive and I'm like, I can be around this stuff. Like, it'll be okay. You know, thinking I had control over it, thinking I had authority and dominion over it, but I really didn't fully yet. So, and another thing, I'll get into that later. But so I'm out where I probably shouldn't be. But I'm out, and it's, like, too late. And my mom, she's calling me and she's like, where are you at? Like, what are you doing? And I'm just like, I'll be back. I'll be home soon. And she's just like, okay. But my mom, she's never really been on me like that because, you know, I'm older now. So she's never been on me like that. But this time she's nagging me. And I'm like, all right, girl, chill. I'm 21. Like, let me live. Let me live.
Let me live.
And then I get home and she has this whole conversation with me. And she's just like, for some reason, she just couldn't sleep. Like, she felt like a cunning spirit was after me. Like, pulling me into something I had no business
with. Mothers
know. And she's just like, you have too much of an anointing to allow yourself to slip into that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, if I was really on my Zoom and like, I mean, but it's really good to have your mom, but you know, you need it yourself also. You can't rely on other people because without my mom, like, I would have just been
mamas and grandmas.
That's why that when you're talking about, like, you know, the devil pulling you, that's what it was, like that cunning spirit that's pulling you back into old ways that you have no business being in. Mm-hmm. So that's why you really have to pray, like have a good prayer life. But also, if you know you're about to go out and you might be tempted by things, you should pray before you even go. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be honest with God. Like, God, you know I'm about to hang out with this person. And, you know, every time I hang out with this person, I kind of slip up and get into some mess. So you just pray before you go. Before you link with that person, you got lustful desires. Don't be listening to Summer Walker while you about to link or something. You better listen to gospel. Listen
Girl,
to gospel.
Don't be listening to Sexy Red either, because she's going to get you in trouble.
Don't be listening to that. Because, you know, that stuff gets you in the mood. And
I feel like it opens up the door, girl. But that's when she's talking about slut me out. And it opens up the door. You thinking you want to get...
Shake something.
That's what music is for.
Oh, this has been another episode of Sage. So you can follow us on all streaming platforms at SAVEDNSUCH. Crazy way to end it, but we got to.
See ya.